We're going to talk about faith tonight. We're going to talk about confidence in God tonight. We did that last week. We talked about confidence in a certain way, but our confidence needs to rest in God. And I want to teach us how to do that. You know, of course, we've learned a lot, but sometimes when people think trust in God, it's very kind of surface trust in God. And all that means to them is just try to be positive through tough times. Well, positive through tough times is not faith in God. It's not trust in God. It's just trying to, you know, keep your head above the water. That's not enough. When we get into the kingdom, when we become a child of God, all of a sudden we have benefits.
Amen.
Really, we have these benefits that are just out of this world. Definitely out of this world. Benefits to being a child of God that changes the way we are and also allows God entrance to do miracles and provide and take care of us. So it's radically different. I remember when I first came in the kingdom of God, all of a sudden everything was possible and I was not afraid of anything. Just not afraid of anything because God stepped in. When God steps in, you're not afraid of anything anymore. And so everything becomes taken care of by Him. He becomes the source for life, so that no challenge arises that He can't take care of. Therefore, I don't have to stress. And you and I have to live this way for the rest of our lives, not reacting without, as if there was no God with us. And so there's this confidence that takes us over, that allows us to be different, so that we're not frantic Christians in need of prayer all the time. You know, it's different. We changed. We became new creatures in Christ. We got the hope of God. We got the Christ within, the hope of glory. I mean, this whole thing changed when Christ came inside here. And so I'm just different. And I just act different and think different and talk different. And we're just confident because of God, not because of ourselves. The Bible says that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. We should not trust ourselves in our own ability, but we trust in God. We're not just trusting our education. We're not just trusting our reasoning ability. We're not trusting hand washing. See, this is where you have to be careful how your life is governed. If you put confidence in the flesh, confidence in yourself, then you're going to have to live with that. That's the risk. So, but it's very natural to do that. You think that because you're jogging, everything's okay. Well, nobody's jogging, but anyway. People think because they eat organic foods, they're healthy. You've just put confidence in the flesh. You've just put confidence in yourself. You're kind of building up your faith in what you have done. And so your confidence is not in God, and so you're going to have to live with whatever comes, you're going to have to live with that. You follow me?
Yep.
Wherever you stand is what you're trusting. So it's good to be wise in the way you treat your body and the way you eat, and getting enough sleep is very important. And I would say you certainly need to be have enough vitamin C in your body and your life. But you don't want to drink too much orange juice because then you'll have too many carbs and you'll get fat. So there's... Oh, wait, I'm sorry. So, help me, Rudy. But there's all this reasoning logic that you go through to keep your body healthy and yourself healthy, but you can't put confidence in the flesh.
Right.
You do things wisely and you do things appropriately, but you have to have your faith in God so he's the reason why you get to live and be strong and healthy and protected and all
Amen.
That. And financially, you know, you can't just rely on financial things that you know. I mean, even if you're wise in financial things, well, guess what? You know, your accounts just took a dip, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
And so what are you going to do with that? Well, listen, we as Christians, even though we have inside information, we have confidence in God, we understand God, we're going to have to live through a lot of world stupidity. Like the cultures and the worlds and the governments, they do a lot of things that are going to affect people negatively, right? Policies, news, all that. I mean, it's just a strange beast that we live with. And we're just going to have to be okay through it all. So you can't put any confidence in the market. You can't put confidence in governments. You can't put confidence in policy and news and, you know, you can't do that. So we have to live through a lot of stuff, whether it's a panic because, you know, a hurricane's coming, so, you know, everybody leave the city. I ain't leaving the city. I mean, you may have to based on your circumstances. You know, maybe you have somebody at home that you're taking care of. There may be some medical things or some real risk factors in your own personal life, but for the most part, I can't leave the city. And so you put millions of people on the road at one time and people died in traffic, you know, stuff like that. So every thing the government does to try to save the world ends up harming the other half. And so, you know, I was pretty distraught. Okay, concerning this coronavirus thing, I'm not alarmed or distraught or worried at all. I mean, I've studied it. I've heard what the symptoms are. I understand what the precautions could be. It's basically just another virus like a cold or a flu.
Right.
The symptoms are even less than flu symptoms. It's just anyway, I'm not going to get into the medical side of it. But I'm not alarmed by that at all. I'm alarmed at the reaction and what it's doing to people's families, finances. And I was pretty distraught about the Houston canceling, you know, forcing the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo to be canceled. That's going to ruin thousands and thousands of families who rely on that income for the rest of this year. So that's the kind of stuff that's ridiculous that we have to live through. And so there's going to be some far-reaching repercussions from this with the airlines and the oil industry. There's going to be some layoffs and stuff. I mean, there's some severe stuff that you and I have to be ready for, meaning we're going to stand up with confidence in God and go through another worldly, stupid thing that's happened. Caused by the devil, caused by a virus, or caused by some government conspiracy. I don't know. But we're going to live through this and we're going to be fine.
Yes.
And so I don't have any faith whatsoever to pray for all the infected people of the world. So don't waste your breath trying to pray for all the infected people of the world while you ignore all the infected malaria people of the world. You don't have any faith to fix malaria or fix coronavirus. You can't do all that. Now, your sympathy and your mercy and your compassion, hey, that's better than nothing, right? You can pray to God about anything. I'm not saying don't pray. You can express your heart and your concerns to God. But just like you can't solve the flu epidemic around the world killing people, you can't solve this thing. What we can pray for and take a stand for is something we actually might have faith for, and that's to take care of all your friends here.
Amen. Amen.
And to take care of your domestic family, maybe some extended family. Use your faith for what you can use your faith for. You can't solve every cruise liner epidemic, but you can solve family, domestic things, and we can take a stand as a church so that you don't lose a job.
Right.
These governments don't make wise decisions sometimes when it comes to money and economics. So we have to be ready for those type things. So nothing's going to affect us.
Amen.
I mean, you need to decide in your own heart and mind, nothing's going to disrupt our family.
Amen.
Period. I'm going to decide it. You decide it. Let's decide it together.
Amen.
Can we all just decide it together?
Amen.
This is how you handle stuff like this. And listen, this ain't the first. There's going to be lots of things coming. Lots of things coming that Jesus predicted, you know, 2,000 plus years ago. Things like when you hear of wars and rumors of war, let your heart not be troubled.
Amen.
How many times can you remember that statement? Don't be troubled. That word don't be troubled is don't be alarmed. Nothing needs to alarm you. Okay? We don't live alarmed. We don't live troubled. We're different. We have a God that takes care of us. You need to believe that for yourself. You need to get that in your heart so, hey, the bad news doesn't alarm me. I'm embarrassed maybe for the way people have reacted, but I'm not alarmed. Okay? So, anybody want to borrow my hand sanitizer? I got some hand sanitizer. Oh, I was in my car and Look, I keep hand sanitizer because I use it occasionally. I like clean hands. I've always liked clean hands, so I've always cleaned my hands. But I'm not cleaning my hands extra, I guarantee. I'm not. I'm not even going to clean my hands one time extra in the name of Corona.
Come on.
Okay, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. It just that will harm my faith. See, if I start thinking, oh, I got to do that, you know, every time I shake a hand, then what I'm doing is I'm really affecting. I guess God can't take care of that for me. So how far can God go into your life? How far can He really care for you? I mean, I'm not a dirty person, and I am cognizant of my life, you know. But at the same time, you just got to be careful. Those will sneak in on you. They'll sneak in on you. If you're addicted to antibiotics and worried that there's no antibiotic yet for the thing, well, you need to work on that. You need to work on that. God gave you an immune system. You need to be getting enough sleep, take care of yourself. That'll solve half the problems. But we have a doctor in the church, so I'll let him do the medical side of things. I'll try to stay away from the medical profession because they'll get me. I know they will. But I do appreciate the medical field. So there's a lot of details and scientific facts that certainly are true. And certainly for all sorts of things in life, we have to understand how and when by faith to use the medical field and use medical knowledge. The Bible says that whatever is not of faith is a sin. And so even if you're going to use the medical field, you got to do it in faith.
That's right.
You don't just kind of throw yourself in there.
Amen.
Because that's the way I was brought up or that's the way things are. You don't just throw yourself in there at every turn. You now that you're a Christian, you got to decide with God, is this the will of God?
Right.
Can I trust that God wants me to do this? Whether I go left or right or A or B, I got to trust that God is with me.
That's a good word.
Well, where does the Spirit of God, what does He feel? Is He alarmed? Is He stopping me from going on vacation or going to the thing or going to work? Is the Holy Spirit moving me a certain direction? Sure, follow the Holy Spirit, but you'll have to be sensitive. You'll have to know the Holy Spirit rather than following reasoning and panic. So we certainly don't want to follow panic and fear. And that's I think, the perspective that I would like to impart to you. I'm trying to impart the way that a faith person who knows God would react. How would Jesus react?
Yeah, right.
Amen.
How would Jesus react? How would Paul the Apostle react? Okay, so kind of start feeling like, oh, wait, that's another level of confidence. That's another level of I know Jesus. So let me just quote a couple things. Psalm 118 verse 8 said, "It's better to trust the Lord. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man."
Amen.
It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. We can go to Psalm 91 and just get a refresher here, just for this part, but. You know, there's financial stuff too, so let's go here. Psalm 91. Many of you probably know this by heart, and it's a great one to memorize. It's a great one to keep in your heart,
Amen.
Motivate your life. But when you read this, now this is not a poem. When you read this, it's God to you. It's for the person of God. It's for the one who has set His love upon God.
Amen.
He, at the end, that's what He says. God says, because, verse 14, because He, this person, has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. And I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So this is at the end of this, God speaks. To who? To the person who set His love upon Him. So do you love God?
Yes.
Do you have a respect of God? Do you honor God? Do you love being with the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
If you love God and you love His Word, then he'll deliver you. Okay, so this is from him to you. This is, I'm special. I'm somebody. I'm chosen by God. I'm not a third-rate citizen. I'm a child of the King. I'm in the kingdom. I'm a citizen of heaven. And so I got privileges. Citizens have privileges. And this settles it for us. So you need to feel this about yourself. I want you to feel it about yourself. You have a special thing with God. The goal is for you to know that. We're trying to get you to know it. You have a special thing with God. You got to know it, though. For it to work, you got to know it. And that's this thing about faith. With faith in God, it's not about, oh, I'm of the Christian faith now. All of this is mine. Technically, it's yours. Practically, it must be believed before it's yours. Yes, positionally or technically or theologically, the promises are yours because you have faith. But practically, application-wise, you have to believe it for it to work for you. And that's this thing about faith. People think, well, you know, I have faith because I believe in a higher power. I believe in God. I have this general faith. No. Faith is believing, having a firm persuasion of something specific. So you have to have faith in Psalm 91. That's faith. Faith in a promise. Faith in God's word is how it actually takes place for you. Faith in salvation would be trusting that Jesus, death and resurrection, the cross. Faith in the cross means I'm a Christian. Faith in Psalm 91 means I'm protected. So read it through, write it down, pray it in, and pass it on. So Psalm 91 verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That would be seek first the kingdom. Get close, stay close to him, everything's cool. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. So he's my refuge and my fortress. He's the one that keeps me safe. That's where I hide in him. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Does everybody's Bible say pestilence? Virus. How about virus? He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. A feather of God would be stronger than any army tank, right? Woo! His truth shall be your shield and buckler. What does that mean? That means, man, you got to have the truth about this. If you have the truth, then you can use it as your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. So how many of you are afraid of the arrows? How many of you are afraid of the bullets? Anybody afraid of the bullets? Anybody afraid of the bullets? No, there's a big thing in the churches these days, you know, the security team and ramping up and all that. And I'm good with it, but we are not afraid of the bullets. We're not making decisions because we're scared. The only decisions we make around here is because there's some wise things to do in this day and age. But we are never scared of the bullets that fly by day. Never scared of a bullet. If anybody carries a weapon, fine with me. Don't you be a scared. I don't mind anybody carrying, you know, the spray in their purse. But don't you do it because you're scared. You do it so you can keep your wallet. Do it so you can keep your wallet and not have to go through the hassle of canceling all your credit cards. That's a better motive than I'm scared for my life. See how a faith person would think? I don't want inconveniences, but I'm not going to do things because I'm scared. So this is how you start thinking and feeling. It just changes everything. It makes everything better. If something did happen, hey, you know, no problem. God will recover me. God will fix it. God will save me. God will deliver me. God will help me. God will heal me. He'll restore me. I'll be just as good after as I was before or better. So you have to feel this way. We're not afraid of a bad thing. I remember I got my way back in my first couple of years with the Lord. You know, I'm trusting Him for protection and everything. And it was wonderful. And I'm just learning so much and experiencing God's and God and His protection. And my truck got broken into. And they stole my CB. My CB radio. Y'all remember what a CB radio is? Broke my window, stole my CB radio. I'm like, oh well. He said thieves might break in and steal. Jesus said thieves might break in. Don't put your treasure in something that thieves could break in and steal. It's no big deal. I didn't need a CB radio anyway. I think I did preach on it a little bit, but I had got it while I was in the world, and so me and my buddies got it so that we could hem-haw around, you know, cause trouble, stuff like that. So that thing didn't need to be in my truck anyway. If you're going to have a CB radio, go ahead and preach the gospel. I don't know why I got off on that. I think I just remember, and it got broken into at a church. And I remember the teenagers of the church, they saw this happen, and they saw somebody, while my truck was parked in the church parking lot. I was teaching Sunday school class, and we heard a crash outside. So we looked out the window, and it was my truck. Somebody had come to park and hit the gas instead of the brake and slammed my truck. And no big deal. No big deal. Glory to God. You know, just kind of laughed it off. And then my truck got broken into. And the teenagers, about a month later, they're like, man, we saw how you didn't care at all about those things. You didn't react at all. You weren't mad. You were still smiling. And at the time, wasn't trying to. It was good. I was like, oh, yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. But I read in the Bible, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He's not afraid of evil tidings. Not afraid of evil tidings. The righteous man is not afraid of evil tidings. Not afraid of evil tidings. The righteous man is not afraid of evil tidings. I want to be that kind of guy. Don't you want to be that kind of guy? Aren't you a gospel person? Don't you want to be a confident gospel man or woman of God? Come on, that's a different way to live. I'm not pushed around by this world. I'm not a puppet to this world. I'm not a puppet to the government. I'm not a puppet to the news media. I'm not a puppet to people or culture. I'm not racing to the store, racing to the Kroger. I went shopping at Kroger and I was heading down the aisle. And I looked down. And I saw we have a whole bunch of water. I'm like, praise the Lord. I guess they're not too scared. That's good. The only thing that we were affected by is we got a bubble wall, a water wall over at the church that needed to be filled with distilled water. And so there was a bit of an alarm for a second, like, oh my gosh, all the water's gone. So Brother Aaron found the distilled water that we needed. Get that before the people need it. We need it for our bubble wall. Hey, the good news is if we ever get thirsty, we've got circulated water. And we got a water well over there. We got our own well under the ground, so we'll be all right. Praise God. And, you know, okay, so we're kind of laughing and making light of things. And I know that there's some people have lost lives, people have lost family members. I know that there's some severity of it. Okay, and I get that. Now this is where we recognize we need to get the gospel to them. They need hope. Everybody needs hope in the midst of this crooked life, in the midst of the evil things, in the midst of a fallen world. The people need hope and help. They can't. To live in fear is the worst of all. To live in fear is the worst of all. It takes away the very life out of you. And so that's another motivator for us to get the gospel to people. Now, you can't go at them, you know, trying to stop them from buying the hand sanitizer or the toilet paper. Nobody can figure out why they need the extra toilet paper. I guess to wash the hand sanitizer off. I don't know. It's a mystery. It's a mystery, the things that people come up with. And the way you start seeing this, how the devil spreads things, there's this thing in the atmosphere that you can't see. There's demons involved in driving peoples and cultures and stuff. And you can see now how easy it would be for the Antichrist to kind of flip a switch.
Yeah.
When God allows this to happen for the end time, as soon as Jesus is out of here and the Antichrist takes rule, he's going to control everything.
Yes.
And so we can see how this kind of stuff could happen. How could so quickly him take control? Pretty easily, huh? I mean, if a flu-like virus can do this to the world, pretty amazing. It has to. It's so weird that it's affected people so strongly that it has to be demonic. When things are so strange that you can't explain it, it's usually demonic. Or it would be of God, it would be divine or demonic, but if it's not good, it ain't divine, so it would be demonic. When people are frenzied by others, it's demonic. When people are lured in masses in some strange way, it's demonic.
Right.
Cults would be demonic.
Right.
Fear would be demonic. You know, things like, so you just have to know that this is real. I mean, there's a spiritual world that stuff's happening in. And so our job is to stay firm and to stand firm and to pray when the Holy Spirit leads us to.
Amen.
And to stop deception at government levels, if led. You can't decide, I'm going to fix every government. Here we go. Let's have a prayer meeting. But by the Spirit, the Spirit might prompt you to pray in a certain way for a certain person at a certain time.
Right.
And we can do some of that.
Amen.
So here, Psalm 91 again. So you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you.
Amen.
And so all this means is for us, we have to stand firm. It shall not come near us. And if it seemed to get near us, it ain't getting any nearer. If it seemed to come near, then we're going to kick it. We're going to stop it because this says it's not supposed to come near me. So if it got too near to me, that's it. I'm standing. You're leaving me. And you can do that with the flu. You can do that with any sickness. I mean, if you do it, if you get this in you, it'll work better than a flu shot. Honestly, you know, people have relied on flu shots for so long in their life. It's part of their routine. And I just never can figure out how you would like a little bit of a devilish virus to solve a big devilish virus. I just find another way because half the people that take the flu shot still get the flu. And I have a whole bunch of people and friends and stories about not doing any of that, not getting anything. So, again, it's relying on the world a little bit too much sometimes. If the Holy Spirit prompted you or if you felt inclined or if you really felt you need, then you can do that. But just do it in faith.
Right. Amen.
Do it in faith and recognize I am going to put at least part of my faith in this, part in God, part in this. We got to be wise about these things. You follow me?
Amen.
It shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord, who's my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Okay, you do have to make the Lord your dwelling place.
Amen.
You do have to actively use your faith. You do have to put yourself under the hand of God. You do have to believe this. You do have to believe you're protected. You do have to believe that He'll save you. You do have to believe it.
Amen.
You do have to rest with quiet assurance. Or we could say perfect assurance. You do have to get yourself to a place of complete assurance in God.
Yes, that's good.
That would be making the Lord your dwelling place.
Yes. Amen.
You don't make the Lord your dwelling place by singing a song about it. That does not mean that you've made the Lord your dwelling place. Okay, you got to be careful about this. You have to actively, with your faith, have a little conversation with the Lord. Have a connection with the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Get this Word and say, okay, I'm gonna work on this right here. I'm going to work on my soul. I'm going to work on my mind. I'm going to work on my heart catching this. I'm going to work on the way I feel about this. I'm going to see, God, is this right for me? Is this, do I got it? Do I got it, Lord?
Come on.
Do I have it? Is it in me? Have I caught this? Is it, am I foolish? Am I fully assured of this? In the name of Jesus, help me, Holy Spirit. Am I assured of this? That I don't have to be afraid. You're my dwelling place. Because I've made the Lord my refuge. He's my dwelling place. Therefore, no evil shall befall me. No evil. Do I have it, Lord? Holy Spirit, do I have it? Oh, I want to thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you that no evil shall befall me. No arrows hit me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm not worried. Say that to yourself sometimes. I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all. And see if it's true. Say it out loud and see if it's true in your heart. I'm not worried. I'm not worried one bit. I'm not even going to think about it. It doesn't bother me. I'm not anxious. I'm not stressed. I'm casting the care. I am not worried, God.
Amen.
Say that out loud and see how you feel.
Yes.
If you feel still apprehensive, get back to break it. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me believe it. Help me believe it. Help me believe it. See, this is what a faith person does.
Glory.
This is important for you. You have to know how this works. You have to get this in you. And the Holy Spirit is your helper to get this in you. But you got to do it. It might only take you 60 seconds. It might take you 60 hours. I don't know how long it would take you to get the truth in you so that you will know He's your dwelling place. Then you have Psalm 91. You have all the benefits of Psalm 91 if you have made Him your dwelling place. I'm dwelling under the Scripture that says I'm safe. I'm dwelling under the Scripture that says I don't have to be worried about anything. I'm dwelling under the Scripture because I can sense it. I got it. I got it, man. I got it. I ain't worried. I ain't worried about the thing that they said I was supposed to be worried about.
Oh, just a moment. Everybody just stand up for a second. I just saw It's like I saw things dropping into the hearts of people. Just dropping like revelation. It was just going straight into the hearts. Come on, just lift up your hand and begin to say some things about yourself. Just begin to say what you need to say right now. I saw things dropping in your heart. Dropping in your heart, settling things right now. Just let it drop in right now. Take ownership of it right now in your heart. Just take it, receive it, believe it, grab it, lay hold of it. Thank you. I got it.
Brefo dosoke, brefo dosoke, dase brafaka, dese vratese mata, dose brakese, dese vratose, brekese tasaka, brese katasaka, brese katasaka, brese katasaka, brese katasa mafasa, don se vrebese keto, breske telama fromba sata, in the bafasa, in the dokese, in the bafase, in the bafasa. And Evopasa, and we raise up a standard right now. Right now. Right now. You're not touching us. No virus affects us in any way. Not physically, not financially. No effect. I rebuke it. I refuse it. And we're turning this tide. We're turning this tide for our people. We're turning this tide of fear for our people. I rebuke it, and I turn it in the name of Jesus. I command the evil thing to take his hand off of our people in every way, and our community, and our employers, and our city. I rebuke it and command it to turn away. Turn away in Jesus' name. This lying deception, you turn away. This demonic disease, you turn away. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Glory to God. Have a seat. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Everybody happy now? Glory to God. Let's finish Psalm 91 if we can, and then we'll be done. Then we'll solve some problems, okay? Listen, there's other things in life that's been dogging people, right? Even in the money, you take this confidence over even into the money realm. Let's do that in just a minute here. He said, no evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling.
Come on.
Where do you dwell? You dwell in the secret place. No, so you can think home, house, I suppose, but you could also think body. No plague can come near your body because that's where you live in there, don't you? He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You'll tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you'll trample underfoot. Then he goes on to the, because he set a love upon me. It just kind of sounds like we're safe. It just kind of sounds like we're on top. Kind of sounds like we dominate. Kind of sounds like we dominate the evil of the world. It just kind of sounds like that, doesn't it? Doesn't Psalm 91 just give you some courage, some confidence? It needs to be real to you. I mean, it's very, very encouraging. I know it's very encouraging, but I want it to be more than encouraging. I want it to be you. I want it to take root in you. You got it? Scripture has to take root in you. It has to be engrafted into you for it to work. So I know it's encouraging, but we need more than just encouragement. Now, you're going to get encouraged. I get it. But we want it to get in you, and that's why I tried to show you a little bit about what faith would do. Like how you do this at home, how you get yourself to a place of faith. Everybody's inspired right now, but it's up to you and me to get this in us for all the arenas of life. Go to Matthew 6 real quick. Matthew chapter 6 is basic Christianity. How many of you have gone through Matthew chapter? How many of you have heard me tell you? How many remember hearing me tell you to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 33 is important for you? Everybody remember that?
Yes.
It's basic money. Finance 101 for the Christian. Okay? Finance 101 for the Christian. This is where you must begin. And if you don't get this in you, you can forget prosperity. Matthew 6, verse 25. Jesus said this. Now, what does he know? Jesus said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. I didn't hear one amen.
Amen.
Because everybody's so worried about their life.
Oh, no.
No, they're not. He said, don't worry about your life.
Right.
That ought to solve your problems right there.
Yep.
Stop being so worried about your life.
Amen.
What you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will put on. He's talking about basic necessities, right? Money. Basically, don't worry about your money. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they don't sow nor reap nor gather. They don't even have to follow kingdom principles, and he takes care of them. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? So here he's just trying to stop you from worrying about money. Basic stuff. Then he says the lilies of the field, you know, they're pretty without having to worry about clothes. Aren't you better than a lily? Some people wouldn't think so. Aren't you better than a bird? We have whole groups that don't think so.
Yeah, that's true.
I assure you, you're way more valuable than animals and plants.
Amen.
Way, like, doesn't even compare. It's not even a comparison. Not even a, they like, plants and animals don't even score, and you score 100 type difference. Because you're made in the image of God. You're a spirit. So you don't have to worry. Look, you're way better than animals, way better than flowers. You don't have to worry about food. They don't worry. Why would you worry? You have a God. The word confidence in the Greek, because there's several scriptures that talk about it. I'll just quote you a couple. It talks about Christ being a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence. One scripture in Hebrews says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. That word confidence is a Greek word that means to be open and frank about it, to be without concealment, without ambiguity, or without the use of figures and comparisons. It's cheerful courage, boldness. It's vocal.
Amen.
When you're confident, you're open. You're frank about it. You're not trying to conceal it. When you're confident, it's easy. You can talk. You can say it. I'm not afraid. And this is why we try to, in the home, if you're having financial stuff going on, get the family talking about it. God said He'd provide for us.
Amen.
That's right, honey. God's going to provide for us.
Amen.
Hey, I just want you to know, honey, I'm not worried about money. And you say that when the worry comes. In response to the thoughts of worry, you have to be vocal.
Right. Right.
No, God said, don't be worried. Honey, we're better than flowers and birds. That's right, honey. You're way prettier than a bird. And all of a sudden now, our faith is active. All of a sudden, our confidence is being heard by the kids. So that on your down day, the kid can remind you, but Mom... How many of you parents in here have kids who have reminded you of a godly truth? Anybody? But Mom, didn't the Bible say? But Dad, didn't the Bible say? What is that? That you get it going. You get it. Be vocal about it. Right in the face of how scary it might be, we have a printed page here that came from God's mouth. That's faith. Confidence. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is in the context of giving and receiving. But verse 6, this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. You can get verbal about this if you want to. Have you sowed bountifully? Why don't you tell your spouse? Honey, we've sowed bountifully in the past year. We can expect we're getting a bountiful harvest. And just get real excited about it because it says it in the Bible, so go ahead and just say it out loud. That's confidence in that.
Thank you, Lord.
And that'll help you not be so stingy and chintzy. Really, I mean, people get chintzy in giving. The way to get out of being stingy and chintzy is you start saying some truth and get excited about it. But then he says, let us give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. So why do you get all sufficiency in all things? So you can have an abundance for every good work. You need to have a good plan for your money. Like all extra money. Like a good work could be a vacation. Can I get an amen? A good work could be vacation, but you can't let all of your harvest money go for vacation. Like your main savings can't be for vacation. You need to have some good work in there. You need to have a reason. What am I going to do with this? It always goes over real big. As it's written, he has dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you've sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. When we built out this building, it took a couple hundred thousand. But I wasn't planning on spending a couple hundred thousand. I was planning on spending like $100,000 or $150,000. But we had some money. We had money in savings to build. But, you know, you don't want to spend all your money. Right. And so it was kind of bothering me that we were going to have to spend this much money. And then we had rent that was going to really triple. From our first location to this location, the rent tripled. Right. And so that was kind of intimidating for a little while. And we're marking out the building. Is this going to be big enough to take care of us? And, you know, how are we going to squeeze people? And are we going to be able to pay and all that? And God kind of arrested us in the middle of the process, which was only about a 3-month process, and just kind of comforted us that we have the money, spend it. He'll take care of us, and we'll always have plenty. Amen. And I remember there was a day. It was like a one day moment where all of a sudden we had confidence to go ahead and spend the money. Well, that was good practice. You got to start somewhere.
Amen.
And now it's the same scenario. Triple the monthly needed, having to spend all the money. You know, we're being prudent as we can, but we also got to make sure that everything's done. And so we're spending the money, and God's going to provide.
Amen.
And so we have to use the scripture to know that He'll supply. He's always supplied. He's going to supply.
Amen.
We're not afraid. I'm not worried.
Amen.
I'm not going to hold back. We're going to do it right.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord. It's just got to get done. Yeah. That's how it works. So we have to be trusting God. You can't have every time you want to spend your money a hesitation. But can we afford it? You have to be confident that God will provide when there's a good work at hand.
Amen.
In your home, in your life, in your finances, you have to be confident. You got to buy a new car. Don't all of a sudden you get worried. Some emergency crisis. The washing machine breaks or the air conditioning goes down. All of a sudden it's this dread and fear. All of a sudden, oh my gosh, it's going to take all of our savings. Spend it. It's what you got the savings for. I mean. Take this kind of stuff head on. Take it head on, and nothing's going to beat me. So I'm just going to, I'll pay for you. I've told you my story about how I grew up dreading a car repair. When I was in high school, I had to work on my own trucks and, just dreading because we didn't have enough money. It was always this threat of, I hope the car doesn't break down because we don't have any money in the bank type thing. And so I kind of grew up with that in me, hating the fact that anything might happen to the vehicle. And then I got out of college but I remember it really didn't change until I was a Christian that I got unafraid of car repairs and just decided God will take care of it. I'm just going to pay for it. Just fix it. Just do what you got to do without the threat and the fear of what you don't have. So there's just stuff in your life you have to work it out in your soul so that you have confidence in God rather than confidence in the amount of money you have, confidence in your employer, confidence in everything but God. But you got to start taking it head on. You'll see that that's faith. When you're not afraid, that's faith. That you would have an abundance for every good work. Hallelujah. Is everybody happy about it?
Yes. Hallelujah.
I'm closing the book. Jude chapter 1 says that you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay, building up yourselves. Let me go ahead and have the band up. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Your faith is helped when you pray in the Spirit. You follow me? So praying in tongues is praying in the Spirit. According to 1 Corinthians 14, either you can pray with your understanding or you can pray with the Spirit. You can sing with your understanding or you can sing in the Spirit. So there's either you do it in English or you do it in tongues. You can either pray in English or you can pray in tongues. Praying in tongues is praying in the Spirit. But he says, build up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So to make this work for you, you're going to have to pray in the Spirit and read the Bible. You're going to have to believe Scripture and pray in the Spirit for your faith to be at the level you want it to be. Just a little tip. You need to add that to your life, that you're praying in the Spirit and reading Scripture like it was from God to you. And He's cultivating it and growing. You're building yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in tongues is one of the most, really, he says it's the most holy faith. Praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit is your most, the most holy thing you can do by faith. It's holy to God. Praying in tongues is holy to God. And it'll help you. So if you've neglected it, go ahead and add it back into your disciplines. 15 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day, every chance you get, whatever you do, know that it's holy and it's doing something for you. Everybody stand.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.